Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down season 4, episode 4, chapter 61, Halloween. Things go bump in the night for everybody in Riverdale. We've got a dead body showing up, we've got a creepy puppet, oh man, and we've got somebody spending their night in a coffin. Oh, let's get spooky.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's the Riverdale After Show on this Halloween Eve. Breaking it down like we do. Come and join me, won't you please? Hey, everybody, welcome to Riverdale After Show, where we break down all the craziness that's happening on Riverdale, airing every Wednesday night on the CW. I'm your host, Frank Moran. Usually I'd have somebody else with me here on the panel. Oh, please. Please. Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. Oh, what am I going to do with all those applause? Usually I'm joined with somebody, but tonight we're just going to be you and I, folks. You lovely viewers and listeners, and then just me on the other end of this mic just chatting about Riverdale. So, as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. While you're there, give it a thumbs up. Boom. And you know what, folks? If you'd like, hop in the chat. It is up and running. Share your thoughts in there about this episode, any of the creepiness that you really enjoyed. And if you're watching after we stream live, feel free to comment down below.
And I am checking out the chat as well, Frank.
Oh, look at this. We got Ryan in the booth making things happen.
This isn't the voice of God. This is indeed Ryan Nilsson in the booth. Psyched to talk Riverdale. Let's have a magical evening.
That's true. That's true. Ryan just showed me his new Riverdale tattoo that he got in preparation for the show this evening. It looks great.
Yeah, it's a little infected, though. So, sorry I showed you that.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I mean, just go to urgent care. It's cool. Just do it. It's fine.
Still paying the last bill.
All right. Just use Bactine. I think Bactine.
Bactine. That's right.
Sure. Yeah. There you go. I'm a doctor. So, folks, we'll be breaking down this episode. And then we'll do a little some predictions at the end of the episode. Kind of set us off on that Halloween Eve with things to mull about. But this episode is, if you look back at all Riverdale, a lot of the episodes always kind of pay homage in some fashion to other pieces of media, whether it's books, movies, television shows, different genres. This one took a lot of the different sort of Halloween stories that you've always watched or grown up on and kind of combined them all into one episode, little slivers and nuggets. Starting off, which I thought was really cool, is just like the day before Halloween in Riverdale, where it's got that nice Halloween font on there from the Michael Myers Halloween film, kind of really setting it up. And that's just the beginning of what we go into. So a wide variety of storylines that we've got to cover here. And what was nice about this is that every character gets spun off into their own separate storyline. And it's basically we're bouncing back and forth between all these vignettes as they take us through the course of the episode. So it was nice to see a lot of characters that got to carry their own storylines as opposed to just paying lip service to somebody else's storyline. Usually, as we talk about it, it's always propping up the main four. This time, everybody got a chance to have their own storylines running throughout the course of the episode. So I thought that was a really nice approach for the episode. But we'll start off, I guess we're going to start off with our core four here. But it's not just the core four, but it's actually all of Riverdale. Because at the end of last episode, Jughead gets that videotape that shows up on the doorstep. And they watch it, and they bring in FP, and they bring in Alice. And it turns out that videotape is just 6 hours of the front of their house. That's it, just 6 hours. And it turns out that it's not just Jughead and Betty getting this. Everybody in Riverdale seems to be getting these tapes. We get to see Archie, Veronica, Pops gets one as well. And it is just long stretches of video just of the exteriors of their homes, establishments. And that's it. And there's nothing written on the tapes. There's no note. There's no message. So people are starting to get understandably creeped out. I'd imagine Ryan.
Yes.
Would you be creeped out?
I would be creeped out by that. In fact, I'm a little creeped out myself in the studio right now because I was choking on some water.
Oh, no, but, Jonathan, rescue him.
Yeah, Jonathan was giving me the Heimlich back here, and now we're all set. So that would creep me out, though. That's a great question. I'm just going to the chat real quick. Frank, everyone's psyched to see you here. They're calling you a legend. We got Jazzy Jones in the chat.
Legend.
External Shockwave.
Holy cow.
Billie Jean
legend.
Girl. Yeah, legend. Yeah, and Obsessed Fangirl 1D13. Yeah, just guys, please keep sharing your thoughts in the chat, and we'll shout you out throughout the show.
Yeah, it's the one thing I like, though, is that whoever decided, because as Alice watches it, like, does anything happen to this? And Betty and Jughead say, no, it's 6 hours, and nothing happens. It's just the exterior. What a bummer to have to go watch 6 hours of that during the first initial pass. You're like, oh, man, all right. Keep paying attention, see if anything happens. But that's going to seem like it's just the introduction of some mystery that's going to start weaving its way throughout the course of the season. So we were kind of wondering, we'd seen some threads kind of start kind of dingling around, whether it's going to be Jughead at Stonewall Prep, whether it's going to be anything that's happening with Archie and Dodger. And now we've got something that seems to have just a wider ramification for all of Riverdale. So could be interesting to see how that one plays out. What is interesting to note, though, is that, as I mentioned, it's Betty and Jughead watching the video with FP and Alice. It seems that Alice and Betty are now living in the same house with FP and Jellybean, Jughead, of course, being over at Stonewall Prep. So it feels like neither Betty nor Jellybean are really jazzed about the situation. But, of course, FP and Alice seem to be really digging it because it's a chance for them to finally kind of get into a relationship that they've kind of danced around for the longest time, and now there doesn't seem to be any obstacles in their way to be able to get together. So, yeah, good for them. It's still odd to me, though, because we have Charles, who they name-check in this. It's like Halloween. Invite your brother Charles over, who happens to be Betty's half-brother, Jughead's half-brother. Betty and Jughead in a relationship with that half-brother in between them. It seems kind of odd, but, all right. I feel like there's not really – nobody really addresses it. So we're just going to just keep rolling with it. If everybody else is thinking it's cool, all right, I guess I'll think it's cool as well. I am looking forward, though, to some scenes with Charles, with FP and Alice. We feel like Alice and Charles must have had some scenes, but this all happened off screen in season 3. They kind of set up Alice kind of infiltrating Edgar's farm. So we never got to really see any of that kind of relationship. We've only hear about it in retrospect. So I'd like to see some scenes between the two of them, and especially FP and Charles as well, too. That's, it's a son that's in the FBI. Not too bad, FP. You got somebody that's really excelled. So I'd like to see what their kind of dynamic is. But so we have that going on. And then, of course, we also have Archie trying to figure out what he's going to do with the boxing club, because Halloween is coming. There's the threats, as Mad Dog tells him, about Dodger coming around wanting to lay a beat down on lots of kids on Halloween night, or because of what happened to him last week when Archie went and kind of rolled him over, took some money from him. Dodger's in a bad mood and looking to do a little payback. So they come up with the idea, like, hey, why don't we just have a late night party at the community center, so we can keep them there, keep them off the streets. They don't have to worry about Dodger. Seems like a good idea, totally. What I like, though, is that they say, like, hey, we should dress in costume because it's Halloween. And, you know, I would think, like, Riverdale, it's got to have a Halloween town. It's got to have a Target, a Walmart. It's got to have some stores, even just like a local store, local general store, that have Halloween costumes. Yeah, I felt like, fine, we'll just go get a couple Halloween costumes. No. Not good enough for Veronica. If Veronica is going to do it and going to be involved in this, or she's going to have her man setting up an all-night, like a late-night Halloween party for the kids, she really wants him to look good. So this is where we get our first name check of Katie Keene there in the Riverdale universe, is that, oh, hey, I'll reach out to my old friend Katie Keene. She's in high school, which we all know when the Katie Keene show debuts, it's going to be 5 years in the future. So right now she's just still in high school. So she makes fantastic costumes, so I'll have her make some for you. So I don't know why that needed to happen. It seemed really elaborate and unnecessary to have this woman that's in New York make these costumes for you, send them to you. That's going to get her super fast, because I think it's literally the day before Halloween, so she's going to have to whip these all together and then FedEx them, and then they hopefully will get there right in time for Halloween. rather than, hey, aren't you just, you know, just go buy a costume. It's all right. But the costumes do come in. And if you're an old school Archie comics fan, then you really like these costumes because we've got Archie dressed up as Pureheart the Powerful, which he's worn in superhero stories in the Archie comics. And then we have Mad Dog dressed up as the Shield, which is a long-running Red Circle comic book from the Archie series of comics. So that was really cool to see the two of them in there. And Mad Dog looked good as the Shield. That looked really cool. So it'd be cool to see these costumes turn up again. I mean, only because I'm a big comic book nerd. So it's like, oh, yeah, let's just have these guys just wear costumes. I don't need to have any justification. Just have them wear the costumes, and I'll be cool with it. I mean, it's 2019. Shouldn't we be able to wear capes out in public more often, not just on Halloween? I mean, look at that screen. Look at that.
Look at that.
I mean, look at him. All right, Ryan, real quick, if you had to choose between the two of them, which one are you wearing?
Which one am I wearing?
Yes.
I'm probably wearing, if you can see the mouse right here, I'm going to dress up as a pumpkin right down here. And just fake everyone out.
Nicely
Get
done.
Get all orange, lathered up in orange paint, Frank.
Poof, man, I like your commitment.
Thanks.
You know, I'm going to have to go with Pureheart the Powerful because he's wearing a cape. Capes are awesome. I want to be able to wear a cape every single day if possible.
Me too. I mean, hey, we should.
Yeah. I mean, who says tell us that it can only be on Halloween or only if you're in a theatrical production?
Right.
Yeah, come on. Let's just wear it every day. I think, Ryan, it's up to us to bring the cape back as a modern fashion choice.
I mean, I'm more of a cloak guy myself. Mm. But, okay. I mean, capes, we did learn in The Incredibles that they do cause death sometimes if you're around propellers or water or anything of that nature. But, I mean, I'm pro capes.
Yeah.
And I think we should be able to wear them if you want to wear them.
I feel like I don't really spend much time around propellers. So I feel like I'm pretty good. I think I can wear
I'm
this.
I'm just
network.
Afraid I'm going to get in my car and close the door on my cape. And it's going to be like whistling in the wind as I drive the 15 miles per hour in this crazy traffic we've been having lately.
That's true. And then you come off and you get like little section of it just all dirty from being drug outside. Yeah, I understand. They got to clean your
it's
cape.
It's got all the LA on it. I just got to get all the LA off my cape.
Blech. Blech.
That's another thing I got to wash. I mean, it's just a hassle when you really think about it. But for Halloween, yes.
Yes.
Worth it.
Absolutely. And you know what else is worth it, though? I'm going to tell him, Ryan.
What's that, Frank?
What is worth it is that the chance to do this show every single week, and not just for me be able to do this, but for all of you folks to take time out of your busy schedules. So many things going on with your lives, but you decide to take time out to join us to watch to break down all these great episodes of all your favorite TV shows. So, folks, thanks so much for taking the time out of that. We really appreciate it. It's not just here on Riverdale, but all the shows that we do on all our different platforms. So thank you for taking the time. But we always could use a little bit of extra help. So if you have a chance, you know, like and subscribe on YouTube. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Leave a comment. No matter where you're leaving a comment, though, just we're happy that you're getting involved in the conversation. So thank you for watching and listening and helping us become the ESPN at TV Talk. Little star going right over there right now. Burst. That's how it went. You know what actually kind of burst is? I feel like the comfortable bubble between Tony and Cheryl. They the honeymoon phase, so to speak, because we've got Cheryl, who's got her dead brother Jason, still just hanging out in the house. And finally, Tony has seen this because Cheryl's had her for a couple episodes where, you know, she's been really adamant that nobody see that Jason's body is still in the basement of Thistle House. But Tony has now come across it as well. So Cheryl's feeling comfortable just to have dead body Jason just hanging out at the breakfast table. And understandably so. Tony's like, this is your dead brother. He should be in the ground. And I cannot think of any sort of argument that would be like, you know, Tony, you're wrong. There's no counterpoint to that one to go like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. Yeah, that body should be out and just sitting here at a breakfast table in a wheelchair with its mouth agape. Ryan, I'm going to come to you for this.
What's up, Frank?
Can you give me, just please, search your heart.
Okay.
Can you give me any rational reason that that you could say, like, yes, it is a good idea to have your dead twin's body just hanging out in a wheelchair in the breakfast table?
At the breakfast table.
Can you think of
yes to everything, but at the breakfast table. I think if it was the dinner table, because look, you're just not ready for that in the morning.
Yeah.
I think you're waking up, you just want to get something to eat. The last thing you want to see is your dead twin carcass in a wheelchair at the breakfast table.
I mean, if you were in a relationship with somebody that had that kind of close connection with the sibling that had passed away and that had taken their body and rather than put it back in the ground had just taking its kind of not even quite sort of semi-mummified remains and just propped them up somewhere in their living establishment that they share with you, you'd be cool with it?
It happened in this studio yesterday to me, actually, because I'm walking in and we have a prop scarecrow right at the entrance, and it caught me off guard. And let's just say I didn't have an appetite for the rest of the day, in fact. And it caught my stomach rumbling and realizing, wow, I haven't eaten in several hours because I just got so scared by that similar body in front of the building. Now, this wasn't a real body, like I assume you're referring to.
Yes.
But even a fake one had that impact on me, so I can't imagine what a real body would have.
It is just tough just to know, like, How do you still love somebody knowing that they're kind of cuckoo for having their dead sibling just hanging out in a wheelchair in their house?
I mean, if it's real love, you'll get through anything, right?
You know, it's one thing like, hey, I never closed any of the cupboard doors. I leave the toilet seat up. I never put the dishes in the dishwasher. Things that might irritate you, but you can look past because you love that person.
Yes. Now, we all do have our limits, though. And I do think
yes,
that could be a limit. I think, I think back to Pet Sematary when, you're looking at your loved one who's passed away.
Yes.
And it's just like, how far are you willing to go?
There you are. I'm going to go to an ancient Indian burial ground and put him in.
There's only so much we can handle.
So, Tony, surprisingly enough, Tony is able to easily convince Cheryl that, you know what, we should bury him again. So they do, but immediately this doll starts popping up. That's kind of like almost like kind of a smaller porcelain version of a young baby Jason, and starts popping up in different parts of the house. And we see Tony and Cheryl about to get a little busy there on Halloween and hearing the baby cry over the monitor. And it's not really any of the two twins that they're watching, Dagwood or Juniper, because they're fast asleep. And Nana Blossom says, you know what? It's probably the spirit of Julian. And we saw last week's episode, Nana allude to triplets. And we all thought, like, and I'm sure all of us thought, like, oh, there must be a third Blossom sibling. And we find out from Nana that there is a third Blossom sibling, but this sibling never made it to its delivery date, to its due date. Because when the time came to deliver those triplets, it appeared that when Cheryl came out of the womb, she had absorbed the triplet, Julian, and which devastated her mom, Penelope, so much so that Penelope went and bought this small porcelain doll and used that as a surrogate of the third triplet, Julian, there to raise alongside Jason and Cheryl. And then once they got too old, then the doll got retired to the attic. So, man.
Did you ever have a porcelain doll growing up, Frank?
You know, I never did. I never had one of those creepy dolls. I never had one of those experiences where I had a doll in my room that creeped me out. I don't know if my childhood was disappointing because of that.
I did. I had this wasn't a porcelain doll, but I did have a stuffed animal bison that my mom gave me that she inherited from her grandparents. And I loved it during the day, but at night, just something about how the moonlight hit that thing's eyes, it just kind of creeped me out. I couldn't really stare at it too often.
Would you cover it before you go to bed so you don't have to worry about that?
I'd lock it away in a closet.
And now you bring it out, and when you have loved ones come over, they're like, Jason, why? Ryan, why is this? Jason, sorry. Ryan, why is this buffalo just hanging out here at the breakfast
table?
Right,
well, I'm a grown man now, so I'm not too afraid of it. However, okay. I still think about it sometimes.
There you go. And I assume you're going to be passing it down to your child someday.
We'll see.
All right. If you want to give it up, you become too attached. Can you really pass it down? This is mine now. It ends with me. So Cheryl basically proceeds to go through the majority of the episode gaslighting Tony into thinking that, oh, yeah, Julian is a factor. They do a Ouija board. They do a seance. And I've never done the Ouija board. You know, I've never been in a situation where somebody said, like, hey, let's do a Ouija board. I've missed out on that. So I cannot say for conclusively if it is real or it's not. I would think in my heart, I would love for it to be real. But in my head, I know it's just somebody at the table is moving it and telling us what they wanted to say. So I feel like I've missed out on a cool moment in life to find out if a Ouija board could really help contact somebody from the beyond. Ryan, I assume you love Ouija boards.
Oh,
I know that.
You assumed right, Frank. I am a big Ouija board guy, especially for Halloween. Ouija boards every night. It's basically, you know, usually it's 11 months out of the year. I'm playing Settlers of Catan on the table. But
yep.
When October rolls around, it's a Ouija board. And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, Frank.
Yes.
In college, not going to tell you when, but in college, we had a Ouija board out, and we were predicting whether our team would win the game the next day. And let's just say the spirits were not on our side, and we had a horrible season. Quarterback broke his leg.
Wow. Now, did anybody fess up later saying, "Oh, I really moved it"?
Someone admitted that they had moved it, but it just wasn't lining up. I think they were kind of telling themselves that. Because they just didn't want to admit or believe that there might have been a spirit.
It's like, no, I was doing it, guys. There's no way. Yeah, so I've missed out on this. So we find out that this is all just gaslighting by Cheryl. So to the point where Tony says, all right, if we dig Jason back up and we put him in here, will all this craziness that's going on around us stop? And Cheryl says, yeah, it absolutely will. So we get to end with Cheryl just brushing her dead brother's hair. And you can just, it's just... So the sound of just brushing a dead person's hair doesn't sound great. But Julian, the porcelain doll, still keeps popping up, even though they thought they had buried it. So Nana Blossom is convinced that Julian is still there to haunt them in some fashion. We'll see if this one continues. If it was just like a little done-in-one kind of bit where it's like, oh, we're still going to get haunted, and we never hear mention of this again for the rest of the season, or is this just the beginning of something more for Cheryl and Tony and this supposed twin Julian, because we did see like there was a midwife involved. So who knows? The midwife could have absconded with the baby and just told Penelope that, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. This baby got absorbed by the Cheryl. So you only have twins. So we could be leading to something where Julian will rear up and, is in his redheaded ways and stir some trouble up there for Tony and Cheryl. We'll see. So, but speaking of trouble being stirred up there, we've got Jughead over there at Stonewall Prep. And I'm still wondering why Jughead continues to go to the school. Because so far I've seen no benefit to Jughead being there. It would be something if like Jughead was really excelling in some fashion. But we don't really see him excelling in anything. I mean, in fact, last week we saw him when he had to write the ending for the murder mystery. He ended up coming in last along with Brett. So he's not exceeding there. This episode, it's basically sort of a initiation of sorts for Jughead. He ends up hearing about the Stonewall Four, which are four students that have vanished. And his teacher says, oh, no, this is just an urban legend. It doesn't really happen. It's just, you know, people that had dropped out of school over the course of 30 years, four people had vanished. But Jughead, when he hears a mystery, likes to go and try to find out if there's any proof to it. So he's hitting the old school newspaper, trying to find any evidence, doesn't turn up with anything, wants to go and check out the local newspaper. When one of his classmates offers him some coffee, it's spiked, he's drugged, and he wakes up inside a coffin. Typical Friday for you, Ryan, I know.
You mean you're telling me, Frank?
Yes.
Although what I will say is that we have a lot of traction in the chat right now, and a lot of people are asking Frank. They're just asking you a ton of questions about your experience with some of these things.
Yes.
We got External Shockwave asking, do you have a Brett kind of guy when you went to school, Frank?
You know, I didn't. Well, actually, there was one guy that irritated me a little bit, Roger Lopez.
Whoa, full name.
Full name, Roger Lopez. I know he's not watching this. You know, it's all right. We didn't see eye to eye on this one, and I always felt like I was always one step behind him in a good comeback. I thought I'd have him, and then he'd one-up me, and then it'd be one of those things where you're leaving later in the day, and you're like, oh, that was what I should have said in that moment. But in the actual moment, I just stood there and didn't say anything and then just had to just walk away like, oh, he got me again. Damn you, Roger.
It's funny because everyone in the chat is saying we all have a Brett. Yep. Brett in our lives. And they're just saying, you know, Brett needs to get punished. Brett needs to get someone said Brett needs to get slapped. But yeah, just saying people are now theorizing about Jughead. They knew that the girl would gave Jughead the coffee and that was spiked or something. Yeah, I mean, that's a true fear I think a lot of people forget about is just, you know, drinks getting spiked and things like that in this type of setting.
But you know what the thing that bugs me, though, is that Jughead's been, yeah, for all we know, he hasn't done anything else other than just hear about this. This Stonewall Prep 4 that have disappeared, gone to the library and start reading through old newspapers. And then he's given a cup of coffee that's spiked and immediately starts getting woozy. And it's like, oh, I just got to go, you know, lay down or get some air. You know, I would be like, you drugged me. But like nobody ever says like, because I know I didn't have anything else earlier. And all of a sudden I drank something you just immediately gave me and I'm feeling woozy. Nobody ever calls out, ah, what you've done this to me. It's always right. Like, oh, I don't know what's wrong. I need some air or I need to rest for a minute. Come on.
I guess you never can tell, though. I mean, if it's in the moment, you're kind of still figuring it out. Maybe after the fact.
All right. Well,
that's a good point, though. Ryan, we never get that scene
that's true.
In any movie.
I mean, have a sip of that water I gave you earlier, Ryan.
Oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. That was coffee. That was not water. That was coffee. That was old coffee from this morning that I just took a sip out of. There we go.
So Jughead spends the night in a coffin, and it turns out he wasn't buried underground. He was just placed in his teacher's office. And so Mr. Chittings comes in the next morning, pries it open, gets Jughead out, and says, oh, you know, this is just an initiation. Brett and the rest of the students come in and is like, now you belong to us. You're here now. And you see, like, Brett is just asking. He's desperate for Jughead to hit him so that Jughead will be expelled from the school. But Jughead holds back and says, no, I'm not going to do that. But what I took away from all of that, though, is that Mr. Chitting is pretty much a terrible teacher because he's asked by Jughead if he was in on this. And he says, no, but there's no punishment. There's no nothing saying, like, hey, you know, guys, you can't be doing this. He just lets everything fly. And I don't know if it's because Mr. Chitting is afraid of Brett. It doesn't seem like it because he's fine giving a low grade. But in moments like this, it'd be like, yeah, guys, you know, I don't know. Like these initiations or hazings, do we need them? I don't know. And so for a teacher to go like, yeah, it was, you know, you guys buried this guy in a car. Well, he's placed a guy in a coffin, let him think he was buried underground all night. It's fine. You guys are crazy kids. That's cool. So we'll see what Mr. Chitting does for the rest of the year. One person that is not afraid of getting some payback, though, immediately is Principal Honey, though. Because Reggie decides, hey, it's Halloween. Perfect time to TP somebody. Let's do it. And so he gets Kevin to join him, and they're going to TP Mr. Honey's office. And as they're doing it, they get busted by Mr. Honey. And we see a scene of Mr. Honey and Kevin, where Kevin ends up flipping on from Reggie. But Mr. Honey's like, and you know, there's part of me that I couldn't disagree with what Mr. Honey was saying, because he goes, you know, oh, you want to go to NYU? I don't think you're going to make it because of Carrie, the musical that he did two seasons ago. Heather's, because of that musical that he did last season, and because of what he just did in the principal's office. And that's when Kevin immediately flips on Reggie and gets out of it. But I do like that this principal took enough time to find out Kevin's past extracurricular activities at school, and they must have taken time to watch anybody that videotaped these performances, which I guess the school might, so they could preserve it in some library at some point, but to go watch those musicals to see how they were and then agree that, like, yeah, they were pretty awful, and then wait for Kevin to really mess up so that he could lay this down on him, go like, you got to get it together, Kevin. Which, you know, Carrie was a bonkers episode, but it was all right. But Heather's was a very disappointing musical. So I'm not going to disagree with Mr. Honey there. But what happens though, at the end of the day is that he brings in Reggie, says, hey, all right, you got to clean everything out of my office, make it look like exactly how you found it before you started TPing anything. And as it takes them all Halloween night, and as they leave the next morning, Mr. Honey says, I'll walk out with you, Reggie. and it comes to Reggie's car, which has been TP'd and the windows have been smashed in. And you can just, you just know it's Mr. Honey or Principal Honey that has smashed those windows just to let Reggie know, like, hey, yeah, this is what happens when people disrespect your property. You know, things like this happen to you in return. So, Ryan, I have to ask.
Here we go.
I know you've got your TP plan for tonight. Is it going to be Bree, Steven, Jonathan? Who's going to be the target?
Ooh, let's just say you didn't name them yet.
Ah, but all right. Michael Klaus.
Yep.
That's
there
it.
There he is. He doesn't even know it. But yeah, he's going to TP his car tonight.
Perfect. All right.
I'll send a photo.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, guys.
Love it next week.
Yeah. I can't wait. It's going to be excellent. So then we also have another big exciting storyline is Veronica. She is basically, her storyline is that some strangers come in. They're on their way home. They're a truck driver trying to get home to their family. Says, hey, I just need to get some food real quick. I've been on the road all night. Can I just get something real quick? Veronica says, all right, we're closed, but I'll do this for you. And conveniently, we get the old trope of the TV's on, just playing some nonsense, a commercial or movie or whatever, but then immediately goes to breaking news that somebody has escaped the sanitarium there that is a serial killer called the Family Man. And this guy's MO is that he finds somebody to cook for him, and then he kills them. And so Veronica realizes, like, oops, this is the Family Man, and he's going to kill me. But I did like Veronica. No damsel in distress. She takes it. She takes matters into her own hands. Escapes down to La Bonne Nuit, pours alcohol in a bowl, and turns off all the lights. And as the Family Man comes down to try to find her, has his lighter out, and then comes across Veronica, and Veronica just dumps all the alcohol on him, smashes a chair on him, and was able to get away. So I like that Veronica didn't need to be rescued at all. She took matters into her own hands. So that was cool. And then we've got our last storyline is Betty with Charles. And this is where we start to find out that something is creepy with Charles. You know, as much as I was going to like that, hey, Charles seems to be an upstanding guy, there seems to be nothing, no such thing as an upstanding person that comes to town to reunite with somebody in Riverdale, because they invariably are turned out to be a creep. And it seems that Charles, even though he comes over to, over Halloween to help Betty trace a call, people that are calling Betty saying that they're really the Black Hood and that he's still alive, that they trace the call, goes to the sanitarium where Polly is staying at, getting deprogrammed. Charles is able to make Betty think, like, hey, maybe it's your sister doing it. So I feel like Charles has done a great thing about kind of separating Betty from Polly. And I don't know if he's trying to just keep her for himself. We don't know yet. We do know that he would love it if Betty would get involved in the junior FBI program. And I know, Ryan, you're signed up for that. You're leaving, what, a couple weeks?
Couple weeks.
Yeah.
Heading out back to Delaware.
Yeah, that's right. Just to be your junior FBI. There you go.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I'm, guys, I'm serious about the TPA.
That's right.
I mean, you can even tweet at the only MC, Michael Klaus, yes, and warn him.
That's right.
Be like, watch out. You might get TP'd at the only MC.
And you know what? There's nothing he's going to be able to do to stop it. He may know about it,
but
he can't stop it.
Not a single thing.
He thinks he's going to be able to stop it, and then he's still going to wake up, and his car's going to be TP'd. Oh, I cannot wait. Cannot wait. So we end the episode with another flash forward, and it looks like something that's been kind of we've kind of been having little flash forwards throughout the course of the season so far, as well as the last season's season finale. And this time, we've been seeing that Jughead's been missing in all these, and everybody's searching for Jughead. This time, though, we see at the coroner's office, it's FP and Betty, and they pull back the sheet that's on a dead body, and it turns out to be Jughead. So very curious where this season's going to be going. I mean, there's all the speculation. Is Jughead really going to be dead? I don't think they're going to kill off Jughead. There's going to be some twist to this. We still don't know what it is yet, but it's definitely up to stakes where you're already seeing a dead body of a character that you know. Right out of the gate. So I'll be curious to see how Riverdale is fooling us, because we all know that they're fooling us. But it'll be curious to see how this plays out. And what we saw is, I'll pull this up from last season there, is at the end of season three, we got right here, it's what happened is we see Archie, Betty and Veronica at a fire. They've taken off all their main clothes. They're just in their underwear. But as they say to each other, while Archie's clutching Jughead's beanie, Betty said this, we have to burn all our clothes, including Jughead's beanie. We wash off the blood in the swimming hole. After tonight, we never speak of this, ever. Not to each other, not to our parents, no one. We finish our senior year, we graduate, and we'll go our separate ways. That is the only way that we won't get caught. So that's what teed us up at the end of season three. I'll be curious to see where this scene where we find FP and Betty at the corner identifying Jughead's body fits into that timeline as well. So a lot of mysteries afoot here in Riverdale. They started planting some seeds. I am hoping that they sprout into beautiful mysteries that we can discover for the rest of the season. What I would love is let's make them shorter. Let's make these mysteries much shorter. I would be so grateful of that. I feel like 22 episodes, Riverdale doesn't do good doing 22 episode mysteries. So let's keep it more contained and give us two or three mysteries during the course of the season. I think that show, this would benefit the show tremendously. But we'll see. But folks, holy cow, we did it. Ryan.
We did it, man.
I know you were telling me, Frank, this is impossible. There's no way we can cover this show tonight.
I completely doubted you.
But we did it. We did it. Folks, thank you for joining us here. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat, asking all those questions. You know, if you see Roger out there, you know, just let him know that I'm going to one-up him one day. I can't. I'll think of something witty, and then I'm going to... Then, oh, man, justice will be mine. Oh, yeah. But if you want to stay in touch with me, Eggman, after the show, or Ryan. Ryan, if they want to stay in touch with you, where can they find you?
I'm at Ryan Nilsen. RyanNilsen _. And you can tweet at the only MC warning him.
Yes.
TP imminent.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, thanks for joining us on this Halloween Eve of the Riverdale After Show. We'll be back here next Wednesday night with an all-new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.